You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
So weird.
Three, two, one, start.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Wow, that's one of the most unusual starts we've ever had. That's what happens when you sit across from the guy.
That's exactly
then
right.
You do Tim Talks with you start goofing around before you record. Right there. We were just saying that. Yeah, we have to count down. We've been counting down for so long that even sitting across the desk from you, I still feel like I have to count down. So I couldn't start. I counted down, and I started laughing, thinking, why are we counting down? We're sitting right here. Unbelievable. Wow. Well, here we are, face to face.
Yes.
This will be the last time.
Face to face with Al, my buddy.
Why can't I get out of here? This is going to be the last time for some time.
Yeah, well.
So I'm heading home back to Canada.
Maybe until next February. All depends.
Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully not. Yeah, I head home back to Canada tomorrow as we record this, and I'll have to quarantine for 14 days. I was just talking to some friends at home that quarantined last week, and they had a phone call almost every day and had some come to the door to check on them.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't have that last time. I'm going to a friend's cottage to quarantine for 14 days. I figure I can do some fishing. You know, I'm out of the way there. I can get outside and do some stuff. So I know there is an OPP, an Ontario Provincial Police detachment, just down the road. So I don't know if they'll be coming to check up.
So will you have to tell them where you are quarantined?
Oh, on the app that I have to fill out before I go into the country, I have to give an address and tell them the plan that I have, and, you know, am I set to do that? So, yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens, you know, if they show up.
So would you be allowed to say, all right, I'm going to go to my house for a day or two, get things together, and then go to such and such address? Or it's supposed to be, you got to go straight there.
You're supposed to go straight there. I'm not going to be able to do that. So if you're listening and you want to turn me in, you can do that. Because by the time you hear this, my quarantine will be over. But no, I've got to run home and get some stuff. Because I've been, you know, traveling here, all I have
is shoes. Don't want to tell them you're going to get stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I got to go home and get some clothes and stuff like that. But I will, you know, I'll buy as best I can. I'm not super tight on this stuff. In fact, I'm almost to the point where I'd say, you know what, just give me the fine right now and I'll go do what I want. I'll fight it in the courts and hopefully win. You have spoiled me rotten here in Ohio over the last couple weeks.
Yes.
Moving about, you know, freely, and, you know, people in the stores are wearing masks. There's still some folks wearing masks. Even here, if you're vaccinated, on an honor system, you can go in without a mask on, and I think everybody's been vaccinated here.
I don't know, man. There are a lot of people still wearing a mask. As we record this, tomorrow is the day that we're supposed to all go mask-free.
Right.
I bet you half the people in Franklin County are still going to wear a mask.
Really?
I bet you. Huh? I'm interested to see what it's going
to
look like.
Well, I have to tell you, I stopped at Tim Hortons to get my coffee this morning. You could tell because I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy. And there's a little twinkle in my eye. I don't know if that's because I'm with you or because I'm drinking the coffee. But and the girl had the mask on. I thought, why is she wearing a mask? I get to go free today. It's tomorrow, I forgot.
It's tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. So just as I'm getting out of here, you guys get to go maskless. So, wow. I don't know. Canada, come on. Come on, Ontario, please. We've got another 21 days.
What are they calling that lottery note? Vax-a-million?
Vax-a-million.
Vax-a-million, yeah.
Yeah. So you've already had your one winner. I didn't see who it was, but.
Yeah, I don't know who it was.
Five people are going to win $1 million for getting a vaccine.
Yeah, and five people free tuition for 4 years at a state college.
Wow. Whew. What a deal. Maybe we can do something like that at church. We could come up with a promo. We could call it Come for a Dollar. Here's a great line. Here's a great line I use. I tell people, I was just telling Brother Wolven that I went out to a restaurant last night. I had a great meeting with Brother BJ Van Ammon.
He's a great guy. Great they have a good church.
Great guy. Wonderful family. Great church. And had a revival meeting during Memorial Day weekend, which is a big holiday weekend.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah. And we had a great crowd.
That's great.
Really pleased. And great response. So we went out and got something to eat after the service last night, and we were talking to a young lady, and I said, hey, I want to invite you to the service. I said, we're having special services, and the preacher is phenomenal. The guy's incredible. The guy's so good. And BJ says, and very humble. And the girl goes, is it you? And I said, yes. But I said, hey, I'll tell you this. If you come and you don't think I'm as great as I said, I'll refund your money. She goes, does it cost to come? I said, no. So, it's a great line. People like that. So use that. If you come on, refund your money. So, wow. What do you want to talk about this week?
Well, we did have a question come in.
We did.
And I won't go through all of the specifics because I don't want this fella's church to try to figure out what the problem was. But a pastor had asked, what do you do with people that seem to suck you dry of your time, your energy, your commitments, and it's like you spend so much time dealing with maybe one or two people, and then it's like they get mad and leave anyway.
Yeah, time stealers.
Time stealers.
Time stealers.
Yep.
And every church has them.
Mm-hmm.
So I categorized people into about three different categories, but there are those who just cannot get enough of your time. They've got to talk to you every service. They have a problem every service. They need to debate something every service. And a lot of times it's nonsensical. It's not something that's really important. They just love to have your time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the people who never need your time. They come to church. They worship. They do their thing. And you hardly ever see or hear from them. And I had some people that came to my church. They came Sunday morning only. They gave in the offering. They would come for anything that was special. All they ever did was thank me and boast on the church and its people. And I don't think I ever had to go to their home for a problem. Awesome people. I wish they'd been there all services, like Sunday,
yes,
Sunday, Wednesday. But they had some health issues and things, but they were great people. And then there are the people that fall into the middle, and there are people that just, you know, from time to time need some help. And we don't mind that. And
that's what we're there for.
That's what we're there for.
To minister.
Right. The problem is, I found in my ministry that those people that were constantly calling, texting, wanting to meet with you, like you said, often left. Once you didn't give them that time, or they felt like you didn't, you know,
didn't do enough,
right, then they got hurt or mad or whatever, and they were gone. So, how do you balance that? How do you deal with that?
All right. Well, let's take the first one.
Okay.
It's Sunday morning, you're on the platform, and of course, you got 100 things going through your head, prayer requests, announcements, your sermon, and you're sitting, you're looking at the crowd, and, oh, we got a visiting couple over there. Hey, there's a young person over there. Oh, man, that's great. And then you sort of notice through the service, they really seem to be listening. They're laughing at your jokes. They seem to be in, you know, they're mm-hmm. into the service. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, amen, you're done, or sing the last song, whatever it is, and they're not just bolting out the door, and other people are talking to them, and they're willing to talk, and so now you're on a beeline to go get them, and what happens?
Oh, that person shows up.
Pastor,
I need to
Brother Time Stealer.
Brother Time Stealer shows up.
Yes.
Pastor, I was thinking this week that maybe we should change some things. The
yes.
lights are kind of flickering.
Hey, okay, well, let me go see somebody else first.
But this is important. Just take a minute. Let me show you. Let's go to this classroom. Let me show you the
and so,
the lights.
Well, they've been talking about fluorescent lights.
Gown.
Your visitors have left.
They're gone.
Yes.
You missed them. How about this? You're standing at the back door. You've had a great service. It's been great. You've got visitors. You're shaking hands with the visitors. And And you've thanked them for coming. And just as they're walking away, the next guy says, hey, I want to talk to you about that message. I found several things wrong with it. I need to talk to you about the doctrinal dissertation I've written on while you were preaching and set you straight. I had a guy do that. He has since gone home to be with the Lord. I didn't kill him. But I wanted to.
He had a come to Jesus moment right then.
He had a massive stroke from an injury on the head. So this guy does this to me. And I said, sir, I will talk to you anytime you want about any message you want on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays,
yes.
Saturday. Don't you ever do that to me again. Don't you ever, in front of visitors, challenge the message like that. And he said, well, I'll tell you right now, my dad would have stood right up in the message and said it. And I said, and if you ever do that, you will be dragged out of here by the ushers and you will be dismembered from this church forever. Don't you ever do that. But and it sounds not real, but it really happens.
Yes, it does.
And
yes.
Unfortunately, and some people just don't have a couth or an understanding of how to deal with that. And on the other aspect of that, I never want people to feel like I don't have time for them.
Right.
And that's a hard
every
balance.
Person.
Right.
We have time for every person. Mm-hmm. But that is key. We need to have time for every person. So, all right, a couple of things, how you deal with it. First of all, I have had, you know, somebody who comes regularly, if they're not aware that I've got to get to somebody, I have said, I apologize. I must leave right now and try to meet somebody. And if you're still here in about 5 minutes, I'll be glad to talk to you. And I've had to break right then.
Right.
You know. Now, at that point, a lot of times people say, oh, yeah, go ahead. But that's one thing that you got to do immediately. You know, I'm so sorry. I can't deal with this right now. I've got something else. I've got to see someone else. So sometimes you do that. I have had... Oh, every once in a while, if it begins to be a big problem, I will tell people, you know, maybe it's a Sunday night and you don't have any visitors there, and maybe I'll take 5 or 10 minutes and explain, you know, folks, I'm coming to the platform and I'm burdened about the message. I'm burdened for people who have needs, and it's 2 minutes before the church starts and somebody says, hey, the toilet's overflowing in the ladies' bathroom.
Right.
You know, I've said, would you find somebody else? That's not the time. Right. Or somebody has an issue. And because you came just in time for church and you want to get it off your chest before church, I don't need to be dealing with that emotionally. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want the Spirit of God to be quenched. You know, and then I'll deal also with, you know, be careful what you say. Mm-hmm. Bring a problem to me after church. But try not to do it 2 minutes before I'm walking up on the platform and there's nothing I can do about it except worry and then deal with that. You know, if you could save, if you're normally here and you can just leave me alone for 5 or 10 minutes after church and let me try to find people maybe who are infrequent, maybe they're guests. I need to see them and, you know, just give me 5 or 10 minutes and then I'll be available for you. Because, you know, almost all the time we're the last ones out the door, you know, so we're always around.
Right. My favorite is when you're walking to the pulpit and someone comes up and says, hey, Pastor, I just want to let you know that we're leaving the church.
Oh, come on. Nobody ever does that.
two or three times. Like, why would you do that to anyone?
So yes.
Here's what I started doing. I would mull around in the foyer for, you know, 20 minutes before. I actually got to church about an hour before, like most preachers do.
Yes.
The heat on and everything. And so I'd start greeting folks about 10 or 15 minutes before the message. I would go to one of our side rooms and I would just get in there and pray and, you know, go through my notes or whatever, just to give me that little bit of break. And then I could go and then right up onto the platform. I know several pastors that have offices in a location where they can do that. People will figure that out after a while, and I'd have people come and knock on the door. Hey, Pastor, can I talk to you? I'm like, I'm just getting ready for the service. I just need a few minutes. I'll talk to you afterwards. I need to have a time of prayer here. And that would do that.
Yeah.
And then one of the other great things that helped me is I told my associates, there are certain people that beeline it to the pastor all the time. I said, if you see those people come, would you do me a favor and would you come and just break that time? Would you come and tell me that, you know, you need me, or that you have something you need to show me, or that there's someone else that needs to talk to me? Find some reason, without lying, to break that meeting.
Yes.
And they would do that. And I could say, listen, okay, let's pick this up another time. Or, you know, most times people would say, oh, that's all I want to say anyways. So that worked very well, having your staff aware of that. And that worked really well for me too.
Yeah. Another problem that I have found, and it's maybe not a problem that you're running into since you're not pastoring anymore, but your grandkids. You know, people... I always want to be sensitive to where generally right where our family sits is first, second row, you know, right just about right in front of where I sit on the platform. And so what I've been trying to do for the past few years now is I will try to, whenever I come off the platform, leave that area and get to another area. So I'm not hanging around where my grandchildren are. Now, they've gotten older, and then they, you know, now they wander through the building and play with their friends and those kind of things, you know.
But Pawpaw hates them.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, whenever maybe the first or two were, you know, toddling around and able to walk, it's a natural thing. You want to be around your grandkids.
Yeah.
And I noticed that church members felt like they couldn't come and interrupt. Like, oh, he's with his grandkids. Right. I don't want to talk to him. You know, or maybe they don't need to hear what I'm going to talk to them about. And so I sort of noticed that, and I went up. And so I try to stay away from them after church just so I am available and ready as well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have that problem.
Right.
And in Canada and some places here, it's very natural for the pastor and his wife to stand at the back door and shake hands with everybody as they leave. So we had our service set up in such a way that we did our video announcements right at the end of the service. We'd have the invitation. I'd say, go ahead and be seated. We're going to show you just a couple moments of announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. And so I'd be standing at the back door waiting for people. So there really wasn't an opportunity for people to beeline it to me. They could come out and shake hands, but they knew that there were people behind them.
Yes.
And if they took too long, I could then say, hey, I'm gonna get these other folks and I'll come back. Mm-hmm. And they would do that. That worked out pretty good. But yeah, with the kids and grandkids, I really didn't have that so much. But
then you do have the same people sometimes will come and stand there, and while you're trying to talk to others, and you know you're hey, good to have you. You've got to interrupt the talking to that individual, and then you feel rude, you know, to do that. And so, you know, I have tried to educate our people of let me deal with some people first, and then I'm available. We're here, and we're glad to talk. Yeah. So
okay. I'm gonna bring this in Wednesday. I'll ask if you have ever had people go to those people before they can get to you. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, run interference.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Maybe some of those things, and then we'll talk about in the office. Is there anything you can do in the office? Because sometimes there are people that just, man, they want to call, they want to come see you all the time. Is there anything that you can do there? So we'll take a look at that on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
Good. Well, it's been good. So for those of you that are pastoring, hopefully this will be helpful. For those of you who are church members, hopefully you'll be watching for these things too. And you can be a help in some of those areas.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a family member or a friend, and you can go say, hey, listen, just so you know, pastor's time when he's talking to people is, you know, really important. If you could get hold of him another time, or, you know, if you can set up an appointment, or, you know, if it's not real pressing, wait till the end of the service. If you can do that for a pastor, that really, really helps. And then if you're that person that feels like you just have to have his time all the time, if you can just be aware of that he might miss someone or something that really is pressing, try to manage that time. So that'd be good for you. And then maybe I'll ask you, maybe we'll do that Friday. We'll talk about different age groups and people in different age groups and how, you know, how they get your time or can manipulate your time, and what we can do with different age groups, something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
No.
Okay. I have an appointment. Bye. Pastor, there's someone that needs to speak to you. Bye, Brother Wolven. I got to go. I'm Al Stone. I am in Columbus, Ohio today. I'll be heading home tomorrow. I'll see my wife and kids again for just a short time and then off to prison. I mean, quarantine, where I'll spend 14 days in solitude. I mean, in a trailer or a cabin or something. That's been great.
In communion with the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. I will. I'm going to get a lot of work.
That is true.
That is good.
Yep.
Amen.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you so much for your interaction, all the emails and texts. We have quite a few topics to go over. Yeah. So thank you for that. Keep that ammunition coming.
Yeah, and picking up new listeners all the time. It has been great. So praise the Lord for that. And keep listening, keep sharing. And we'll be back on Wednesday talking about time stealers. This is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.